Sabbath blessings. Can you all hear me? Praise the Lord. You all have prayer requests, please place it in the room and we all get on your knees. Let's start with prayer. And please bow your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us this Sabbath day. Please brighten my tongue and all the tongues will be speaking on your behalf on this beautiful Sabbath day. Please help us to keep the Sabbath day holy, that we may glorify you on this special day. And thank you so much, Lord, for forgiving us and cleansing us. And we ask you to please forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all iniquities. And please, we lift up all the prayer requests that are in the room and from the minds and hearts of your people. And please bless us, Lord, with the oil of grace, that we may keep our lamps trimmed and to be partakers of the latter rain, because we are still unworthy of your righteousness. And please help us to be humble daily. And we offer all these prayers to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. Is the sound okay now? Oh, I'm low. Hold on. Hopefully it's better. Well, praise the Lord. I apologize, the headset was plugged in. I forgot to take him out. Hey, again, Sabbath blessings everyone, and let's keep our chatting about ourselves to we can talk about it later. Let's respect our God this time. Following verses are posted for keep us in the delivery. Okay, the study for today is the continuation of closer walk with Jesus, and the subtitle is "You Have Done It Unto Me." The Lord commanded us how to love our fellow men, and by doing so, this is to show that we acknowledge His supremacy as the order of truth and righteousness. By our right choice of words, we impart to others the blessings that the Lord blessed us in His Word. Reviewing Herald, May 12, 1290, paragraph 1, it says, "Speech is one of the great gifts of God. It is the means by which the thoughts of the heart are communicated. It is with the tongue that we offer prayer and praise to God. With the tongue, we convince and persuade. With the tongue, we comfort and bless, soothing the bruised, wounded soul. With the tongue, we may have known the wonders of the grace of God. With the tongue, we also we may utter perverse things, speaking words that sting like an adder." Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, it says, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord." In Testimonies, Volume 4, 123, paragraph 3, it says, the church is suffering for want of unselfish Christian workers. People who are, as a rule, unable to resist temptation and are too weak to stand alone would remain away from the church report. Continuing. There would be a much purer spiritual atmosphere in that place. Those who live upon the husk of others' failings and deficiencies, and who gather to themselves the unwholesome miasma of their neighbors' neglect and shortcomings, making them church scavengers, are no advantage to the society of which they are, of which they form a part, but are an actual burden to the community upon which they inflict themselves. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 4, page 94, paragraph 1, says, the Church is in need, not of burdens, but of earnest workers, not of fault finders, but of builders in Zion. Missionaries are really needed at the great heart of the work. Men who will keep the fort, who will be true as steel, to preserve the honor of those whom God has placed at the head of his work, and who will do their utmost to sustain the cause in all its departments, even at the sacrifice of their own interests and lives, if need be. But I was shown that there are but few who have the truth brought into their very souls, who can bear the searching test of God. There are many who have taken hold of the truth, but the truth has not taken hold of them to transform their hearts and cleanse them from all selfishness. There are those who come to help in the work, as well as many of the old members who have a fearful account to render to God for the hindrance they have been to the work through their self-love and unconsecrated lives. So, brothers and sisters, how many do actually engage in the work of God? And how many are busy sowing discords, doing the work of the enemy? Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, it says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. James chapter 3, verse 6 and 9, it says, the stock in the top is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and set it on fire the force of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Therewith, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith, bless we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, it says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that gathereth the secrets. Brothers and sisters, the Lord uses his instruments, his people, to send his corrections to those who are walking disorderly, to bring them back to walk in the narrow path. Let us not get offended when a correction comes to our lives, because sometimes we do things that we thought are okay to do. But the Lord may be sending an individual member from the church for us to discontinue the wrong course of action we are engaging in. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father, the Son in whom he delighted. We all know that Satan is the author of sin. Satan has started sowing discord and has taken the third of the angels with him here on earth to continue this evil act. In Review of Review and Herald, September 14, 1896, it says, I beseech all who engage in the world murmuring and complaining because something has been said or done that does not suit them, and and does, and that does not affect things. Give them due consideration to remember that they are carrying on the very work they got inherited by Satan. They are following in his track, sowing unbelief, discord, and disloyalty. For no one can entertain feelings of disaffection and keep them to himself. He must tell others that he is not treated as he should be. Thus, they are led to murmur and complain. This is the root of bitterness springing up, whereby many are defiled. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how we ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. So, brothers and sisters, as we learn from those who were alive before us, especially the apostles of Christ, they were not behaving disorderly. They tried their best to emulate the character of Christ. Yes. Is it some better?
It, your mic sounds like it's it sounds like it's echoing. How am I sounding? Is it echoing for me too? It sounds like a bad cell phone. Go out there and.
Do you have a bass?
No, I don't use basses. You're kidding with my ears, huh?
Oh. No, okay.
Mine sounds okay. Yeah, they're waiting to see. It could be your mic. I'm sounding okay. All right, yeah. Because I don't know if it's the microphone, because it's really hard to, like, we can hear your words, and then all of a sudden it's kind of like in the distance, it sounds like it's echoing back just a little bit, enough to confuse what you're saying. Yeah, I know. There's no echo on me. So, sounds like a bad cell phone, you know, like a bad connection. Do you have, did you set up like in Turbo, you know, you click the setup and I think there's a mute option to make it, yeah, the headset will sound better. Yeah, usually the headset.
Is it okay?
No, it's still doing it. Yeah, it sounds choppy, like a bad cell phone. See right there. Yeah, it's like a couple of words sounded good, and then all of a sudden it sounded like you were in a tunnel, and then it came back like a bad cell phone. Can't hear on Twitch. Can you hear me, Michael? Yeah, I thought it was my computer doing it because I've been crashing all week again. I don't know what's causing it. Matter of fact, right when I was almost done my studies.
Is everything okay now?
Oh, perfect. All right. Good. Thanks.
Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me? You can't. Can you hear me, Eli? Test.
Oh, wait. Praise the Lord. We're gonna continue. I apologize for the bad sounds. Okay, continuing. Review in Herald, November 27, 1900, paragraph 7. Satan would be pleased to have anyone and everyone become his allies in the work of weakening the confidence of brother in brother. and sowing discord among those who profess to believe the truth. Satan can accomplish his purpose most successfully through professed friends of Christ who are not walking and working in Christ's lines. Those who in mind and heart are turning away from the Lord's special work for this time. Those who do not cooperate with Him in establishing souls in the faith by leading them to heed His words of warning are doing the work of the enemy of Christ. Sometimes due to refusal to admit our mistakes, we tend to let our emotions take over and neglect the principles Christ laid before us in His words. Words that are uttered in our tongue, for example, when we say, "Oh, he or she offended me and I don't care, I have to get even or say something." But we have to remember that every member in our bodies is property of God, for He created us. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? And or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Testimonies to the Church, page 194, paragraph 2, it says, "Religion has no saving virtue if the characters of those professing it do not correspond with their profession. God has graciously given great light to His people in. But Satan has work to accomplish, and he brings his power to bear most strongly at the great heart of the work. He seizes men and women who are selfish and unconsecrated, and makes of them sentinels to watch the faithful servants of God, to question their words, their actions, their motives, and to find fault and murmur at their reproofs and warnings. Through them, he creates suspicion and jealousy and seeks to weaken the courage of the faithful, to please the unsanctified, and to bring to naught the labors of God's servants." Continuing in paragraph 3, it says, "Satan has had great power over the minds of parents through their undisciplined children. The sin of parental neglect stands mark against many Sabbath-keeping parents. The spirit of gossip and tale-bearing is one of Satan's special agencies to sow discord and strife, to separate friends, and to undermine the faith of many in the truthfulness of our positions. Brethren and sisters are too ready to talk of the faults and errors that they think exist in others, and especially in those who have borne unflinchingly the messages of reproof and warning given them of God. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18, it says, 'He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool.'" Testimonies for the Church, volume 4, page 195, paragraph 1. "The children of these complainers listen with open ears and receive the position of disaffection. Parents are thus blindly closing the avenues through which the hearts of the children might be reached. How many families season their daily meals with doubt and questionings? They dissect the characters of their friends and serve them up as a dainty dessert. A precious bit of slander is passed around the board to be commented upon, not only by adults, but by children. In this, God is dishonored. Jesus said, 'Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of this my brethren, ye have done it unto me.' Therefore, Christ is slighted and abused by those who slander his servants." Brothers and sisters, we all know that unbelievers who disregard Christ's teachings will slander us left and right. Psalms chapter 31, verse 13, it says, "For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life." But brothers and sisters, how about when there are slanderers inside the congregation? When a brother or a sister sees something that one of us shouldn't be doing and bring that to our attention by using God's word exactly as how it should be done, in meekness and fear, do we get offended and walk away? What are we to do? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So, brothers and sisters, to bear the burdens of one another is to give each other Christ-like advice, that we may grow together, not to join those who are sowing discords, because it's going to be dangerous to our walk. And the children of those who practice sowing discord and slandering are implanting this to their ears. Children copy everything they see and hear from adults, for they thought it was the right thing to do. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 4, page 95, paragraph 2, it says, "The names of God's chosen servants have been handled with disrespect, and in some cases with absolute contempt, by certain persons whose duty is to uphold them. The children have not failed to hear the disrespectful remarks of their parents in reference to the solemn reproofs and warnings of God's servants. They have understood the scornful jests and the depreciatory speeches that from time to time have met their ears, and the tendency has been to bring sacred and eternal interests in their minds on a level with the common affairs of the world. What a work are these parents doing in making infidels of their children, even in their childhood? This is the way that children are taught to be irreverent and to rebel against heaven's reproof of sin. The spiritual declension can but prevail where such evils exist. These very fathers and mothers, blinded by the enemy, marvel why their children are so inclined to unbelief and to doubt the truth of the Bible. They wonder that it is so difficult to reach them by moral and religious influences. Had they spiritual eyesight, they would have at once discovered that this deplorable condition of things is the result of their own home influence, the offspring of their jealousy and distrust. Thus many infidels are educated in the family circles of professed Christians." So the children hear everything that we say inside home, and it will be manifested outside on how the children behave around other people. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 to 35. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." This generation of vipers, when the Lord our King was talking to the Pharisees, but we're just relating it to the abundance of the heart. If we study the Bible, that will be the abundance of the heart coming out of our mouth. Continuing in verse 35, "A good man has a good treasure of the heart, bringing forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringing forth evil things." Evil thoughts will be suggested by Satan before it comes out from the mouth. When we think evil of a brother or sister, do we forget that the Lord can read our thoughts? think of this verse and use this verse as if the Lord is talking to us when evil thinking comes to mind. Matthew chapter 9, verse 4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" So think of this verse. Every time there's an evil suggestion against a brother or sister in your mind, think of this verse, Matthew chapter 9, verse 4. If we dwell on this, then it will become our thoughts. But we just say, "Get thee hence, Satan, be gone." Psalms chapter 94, verse 9, it says, "He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see?" For example, those who have learned different trades, do they not practice what they learn from school? They do. How much more of a practice while we being in the school of Christ now? The practice of righteousness daily, as we learn, will prepare us, brothers and sisters, for eternity. When the Bible truth is cherished and applied it every day, it will be manifested in our speech that we are truly following the Lamb, whithersoever He goeth. We can be distinguished by those who are seeking Christ just from the words that are being uttered by our tongues. Matthew chapter 26, verse 73, it says, "And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." This verse right before Peter was swearing and started swearing, cursing, denying Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So brothers and sisters, we're going to ask this question to ourselves. Have we been with Jesus? Are we being with Jesus daily? Or are we going to be with Jesus tomorrow, just like the apostles had been with Jesus? What manner of spirit do we have if we dwell on backbiting and sowing discord? Another example is when a brother or sister only greeted one of us on Sabbath blessings, and the person who was greeted took it the wrong way. And mention it in a group saying, "Why is this person greeting me? Maybe he's up to something wrong. Maybe he's up to something evil." Brothers and sisters, we are not to think that way. Maybe the person was just only greeting for the sake of saying Sabbath blessings because Sabbath is the holy day of the Lord. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 8, page 83, paragraph 3 and 4. The thoughtless unkind words that are spoken grow with every repetition. One and another adds a word until the false report assumes large proportions. Great injustice is done by their unrighteous suspicions and unrighteous judgments. The talebearers hurt their own experience and sow the seeds of discord in the church. If they could see things as God sees them, they would change their attitude. They would realize how they have neglected the work, He has given them to do, as they have found fault with their brethren and sisters. The time spent in criticizing the motives and works of Christ's servant might better be spent in prayer. Often, if those who find fault knew the truth in regard to those with whom they find fault, they would have an altogether different opinion of them. How much better it would be if, instead of criticizing and condemning others, everyone would say, unquote, "I must work out my salvation. If I cooperate with him who desires to save my soul, I must watch myself diligently. I must cut away every evil from my life. I must become a new creature in Christ. I must overcome every thought then. Instead of weakening those who are striving against evil, I can strengthen them by encouraging words. Romans chapter 6 verse 13, it says, Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, that you and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, it says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Probe your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall not know that ye, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Brothers and sisters, it may be happening to you once in a while, or often, when an evil suggestion comes to mind, to think evil or plainly think of any evil acts against brethren. But know this, the Lord will also send the words of warning that we have read in the split of a second, as the Holy Spirit promised us to combat the evil thoughts. Does that ever happen to you? When Satan puts suggestion in your mind, in a split second, the Bible verse pops in your mind to save you from that evil thought. But with no Bible reading, no words of truth will come back to the mind of those who never read and study. Review and Herald, May 12, 1910, paragraph 3, it says, of the sanctified tongue, the Apostle James writes, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Satan puts into the mind thoughts which Christians should never utter. The scornful retort, the bitter, passionate utterance, the cruel, suspicious charge are from him. How many words are spoken that do only harm to those who utter them and to those who hear? Hard words beat upon the heart, awakening to life its worst passions. Those who do evil with their tongues, who sow discord by selfish, jealous words, grieve the Holy Spirit, for they are working at cross purposes with God. So brothers and sisters, sometimes if we may think that we are having a good discernment, knowing that it wasn't a good discernment, it was the enemy just whispering into our ears to think evil of our brothers and sisters. So let's be very, very careful and bring it to prayer, bring it to Christ and pray, Lord, is this from you? Ask him, inquire of him, because the Lord knows the best answer to our inquiry. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 14, it says, prowardness is in his heart. Talking about the person who sowed discord. Prowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He sowed discord. So, 1 John chapter 4 verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Brothers and sisters, let us go to the person who we are having any misunderstanding with, and not to tell other people our misconceptions about an individual. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, it says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. If you are having misunderstandings with any brothers and sisters, please go to them, pray to God first, ask for forgiveness, because God is merciful, and 1 John 1:9 promise is always going to come to mind if we are truly repentant of this type of sin. So, brothers and sisters, our characters will be shown to others first by how we handle our conversations with others, with people. Then when we try helping the sick, giving drink and food to those who are in need will follow. But if we are in our conversation do not show any love for our brethren by having the spirit of gossip and sowing discord, how are we, brothers and sisters, can we reach out to those who are lost when we are not in one accord with one another? We are the branches, must keep ourselves attached to the vine and to emulate his character daily to receive the abundance of the latter rain. If not, our negligence and lack of practicing righteousness in our words will endanger us and be disqualified to make it home to the kingdom of God. The words that our Lord Jesus will say to those who are on the left hand should serve as a warning to each and every one of us. Matthew chapter 25 verse 41 says, "Then shall he say unto them on the left, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew chapter 12 verse 36 it says, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." So, brothers and sisters, when sowing in discord is done against another, it is also done against Christ, our King, who we proclaim to be our Lord. So, what side are we on? Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, it says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And with that, I hope and pray that we are blessed this Sabbath day.